Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Megan.
We're two moms with eight kids between us, from little to grown.
We're in different areas of the country and in different stages of life.
But we both know that motherhood's a lot easier when real moms share tips and encouragement.
And remind you that it's really all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Mom Hour. I am Sarah Powers here, as always, with Megan Francis. Hey, Megan.
Hey, Sarah.
So we are popping in on a Sunday in your feed, which means it's a More Than Mom episode. We do these a couple Sundays a month, and we use them as an opportunity to depart from motherhood and parenting and talk about
whatever we feel like talking about.
Whatever we feel like talking about. And since, in case you missed it, we had a big celebration this week. Earlier this week was our 200th episode and our 4-year to the day anniversary of this show. So we thought we would kind of continue the conversation. We talked a lot about kind of what we've learned about motherhood through podcasting on Tuesday. Today's show is going to be more of like a then and now of actually how we make this show and what's changed in our lives since we've been doing it.
So much. Oh my goodness. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So not only how much has changed in our lives, but how we do the show has changed.
Yeah, exactly. And we hear from you guys sometimes that the behind the scenes of podcasting is fun. I know as a podcast listener, even though I know what we do, it's still so interesting. I still kind of picture other podcasters in a fancy recording studio. Don't you?
You don't think they're all doing it in their bed like me?
But you are, and we are. So we're going to talk about just, how much has changed. And this was a great listener suggestion, by the way, from a listener named Kara, who said be fun. And she even suggested we play our old intro, which we will at some point. We're going to have Brian insert that. So, there'll be a little retrospective. But before we have too much fun, let's talk about our first sponsor.
Yeah, so we're really excited to welcome back Buffy as a sponsor today. So you guys know I have a thing for bedding and I'm really picky about what I will sleep under or on top of, but I was eager to give Buffy a try because I'd heard great things and they have like over 11,000 reviews with people raving about how soft and fluffy these comforters are. So what's really cool is that Buffy is made from a different kind of material than a typical comforter. The outside shell is this really soft, renewable material that's less wasteful than cotton and is hypoallergenic. And this is really cool. The interior is made from recycled plastic bottles that they somehow magically transform into the super soft, fluffy fiber. Every Buffy comforter keeps about 50 bottles out of landfills and oceans, which I love. And this comforter is really super soft, fluffy, but it doesn't get really hot like a lot of bedspreads and comforters do.
It is seriously magical. And I have to be honest, it's hard when a product comes with this much hype. I had also read a million reviews and heard about how soft it was. And first of all, recycled plastic bottles, like how can that even be soft? So I was almost preparing myself to be underwhelmed and I was not. It is such a great comforter. We've been sleeping with our duvet cover with no comforter in it for a while because I didn't have one and we have temperature issues. I get cold, he gets hot. I know that's a typical story and we are super happy with our Buffy comforter.
And the cool thing is Buffy actually offers a complimentary trial so you can try this out for yourself and see how you like it. You can actually try the comforter in your own home for 30 days and if you don't love it, you can return it for free and we're going to give you $20 off your Buffy comforter. So to get that, go to buffy.co and enter the Mom Hour. Again, you're going to go to buffy.co, not .com, and enter the Mom Hour for $20 off your Buffy comforter.
Do it, guys. It is so cozy. Okay, we are also welcoming back Lion Rock Recovery as a sponsor today. Lion Rock provides online substance abuse counseling, and they do it in a way that's really revolutionary, and it's helping out a lot of moms because their treatment happens over a video conference on a really flexible schedule. They have group sessions led by licensed counselors, all based around the latest evidence-based treatment, and it happens from the comfort of your own home.
Yeah, we know how hard it can be to practice any kind of self-care. And I do consider getting help when you need it. Self-care. Yeah. But when you're a mom with so much going on at home, it's just tough. And in particular, I can see how an inpatient program could seem like almost impossible to pull off. So I'm guessing a lot of moms don't really feel like they can be proactive about alcohol issues and then only seek help if things get really bad. But we found out that substance use issues are actually progressive. So it makes more sense to get help as early as you can. And then, you know, you can kind of avoid having to go more drastic routes later. LionRock makes it possible to get help without completely disrupting your life, which is just such a gift for moms with kids at home.
I agree. And we know it's hard to take that first step, but they make it really easy to get started. You can schedule a free phone consultation. You can take a quiz at their website, or you can live chat with one of their admissions counselors. They'll also guide you if this isn't the right step for you. They'll let you know. So they're not going to bring you in if it's not the right step for you. You're going to go to lionrockrecovery.com/mom to check out a special page they've created just for you guys. Once you're there, everything's completely private and secure. Again, it's lionrockrecovery.com/mom.
What a great program. All right. Are we ready to dive in?
Yeah, we got a lot to cover.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
So I want to ask you this question. We're going to kind of snapshot back in time in our time machine.
Okay.
And again, if you listen to 200, you know, it's been exactly 4 years. So in March of 2015, Megan, how old were your kids to start with?
Okay. So I had to go back and do this math. Clara had just turned 6, like 5 days earlier. Mm-hmm. Owen was 9. Will was 11. Isaac was 15 and Jacob was 17. And I do remember when we had that intro with all their ages on it.
Yes, we did. Yeah. And you guys will hear it. So we said, or at least I said my kids' specific ages. I think you at least said 6 through 17.
That was smart of me, right?
Okay. So what's funny is I'm looking at this and I just put it together now, but you had a 6, 9, and 11. And that's what my kids are now. Is that crazy?
Well, that is
so
crazy.
Reed and Allegra have spring birthdays. So they are actually not quite 9 and 11. They're still 8 and 10, but this is the time of year where, you know, you do it in the fall. You start to round up because everyone's about to turn something. Yep. So when we started this show, Violet was newly 2. So a young 2. Reed and Allegra were 4 and 6. But when we recorded that intro, I did call them 5 and 7, which bought us a year of, you know,
that's so funny,
like being correct. But what's funny is we kept that intro for way too long. And my kids would sometimes hear it in the car or if I was listening to the show and they'd be like, Mom, I'm 9 now. I'm not 4, whatever it said. It did say 2, 5.
We made it eventually so much easier on ourselves. Yes. We were just less specific. I think that's one of those things you just don't think about when you first start something like this. And then later you're like, when are we going to re-record the intro? And back then, like, recording was a big deal. Like, it was hard.
It was both a big deal, but also I don't think we took it quite as seriously because the show was new and small. I remember, I think you just told me what to say in the intro and we just recorded it the very first day we recorded. Yep. And we're like, okay, well, let's just say this. And I will say, even though we got a little more vague, we did our second iteration of the intro said we have 5 kids from preschool to teen. And I did have to eventually also rewrite that because my preschooler is now in kindergarten. So yeah. That kids get older. Spoiler alert.
It happens.
And listeners, your kids are also 4 years older than they used
to
be.
Which is crazy.
Surprise, surprise. Okay. So what about the home you live in and who lives under your roof? I'll go first. Mine, I think, has changed a little less. But in 2015, we were in this same house. We'd only been in this house about 6 months. So it was still kind of new. We moved to California in August of 2014 from Arizona. So I was still newly living in this area and living in this house. The same people, the same 5 of us under this roof, my husband, the 3 kids. We did have an older dog who passed away in 2016. And then we got a puppy in spring of 22 years ago, of 2017. So in this time, we were down one dog and then up one dog. But other than that,
just when you got all your kids off to school, you took on a new dog.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. He's better now though.
He is better, but you had some stress around that.
It's hard recording with a puppy. It's hard doing anything with a puppy. Okay, how about you?
So, in 2015, it would have been me and the 5 kids and my husband. And we lived in a different house. Then in 2017, my now ex-husband and I got divorced. So, and then in last year, April of 2018, so just about a year ago, I think I was actually prepping to move right now. We moved to a different house. So now it's like me, same kid, not, you know, minus the ex-husband, same kids, but on a rotating schedule with the adult kids kind of coming in and out at will. Although my son Isaac just technically moved out, although I think he's going to be back on the weekends. I have a feeling he got his own place, but I think he'll be back a lot. And we still have the dog, but we also added a kitty cat.
Yeah. And that was around the time you got the cat in your old house, right?
Yeah. So I've had the cat for 2 years.
But pre-move.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. I got the cat 2 years ago now.
You got that cat when it was a guest on your radio show, right?
Yes. So I did a radio morning show for 2 years and Johnny and Megan Mornings at 98.3 The Coast. And they had like a Furry Friends Friday. And they'd always bring in animals. And I always joked that I was going to end up getting one of them.
Yeah.
And they brought this skinny, scrawny cat in that was so like aggressively affectionate that I was like joking that the cat had an attachment disorder. But then I said, you know what? I want that cat because I need something to snuggle at night. And it was just like the best. And I couldn't stop thinking about her. I like obsessed about her for days. And then I finally went and got her. And she's been just the best thing ever. Like everyone loves her. Oh, and said she brought the whole family together.
I love it.
He said, this cat is the best decision this family ever made. It's like, wow, Owen.
No pressure.
Pretty dramatic. No pressure.
Gia. Isn't her
exactly.
name Gia?
Exactly. Yeah, Gia.
Okay, so next question. How about your work situation? I mean, we regular listeners know this podcast has become a source of income and a big chunk of our jobs, but obviously it always hasn't been that way. And it doesn't look the same for both of us. So what were you doing work-wise 4 years ago?
Oh, gosh. Okay, so 4 years ago, I had kind of wound down the blogging, but I still was doing a lot of freelancing. I had like 3 or 4 copywriting and editorial contracts. So I was definitely working very much full-time.
And tell everybody what that looked like, just if they're not from the blogging world. Like you weren't blogging as much at the Happiest Home personally.
Right, but I was blogging on behalf of other companies. Right. And sometimes I was managing writers for their blogs. And just like I was working on a project for women, infants, and children, where I was creating like online nutritional programs and stuff. So I had like 3 or 4 of those at a time at any given time. So I'd be switching back and forth. Like one would be like a local tourism site, and then another mm-hmm. one would be parenting content and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, so, I was going to say they weren't all motherhood and parenting related.
They weren't.
Some were tangentially, but not all.
Yeah, so that was keeping me busy. And so the podcast was just, I mean, the podcast to me was like 3 things. First of all, it was a way for me to keep talking about parenting and still have a personal brand of some sort, because I kind of gave that up. Well, like the whole personal writing, everything I was doing was for clients. So I wasn't really doing a lot of my own writing. So this was a way to continue to kind of explore those topics when I wasn't doing that blog anymore. It was also a good way to stay in touch with some people from the Happiest Home community. Mm-hmm. I don't think everyone followed over, but some did. And it was mm-hmm. a nice way to like kind of keep those connections. And it was just a passion project. I kind of knew podcasting. I had a feeling podcasting was going to get big. I couldn't tell what the timing was going to be. Well, we were kind of right in the middle of it, actually. It was when it had just sort of started to get big was when we were sort of just launching this show. And I'd been podcasting a while by that point, but not for the Mom Hour, obviously, because it was brand new. So, you know, it like had a few different, I didn't really at that time think, oh, in 4 years, like podcasting by itself will be my full-time job.
Right.
I didn't really think that far ahead, I guess, but I knew it had the potential.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, you definitely saw it. People in podcasting often reference the release of this serial from This American Life as like one of those pivotal moments, not the only one. And certainly there was podcasting before that, but I always had it in my mind that we were slightly before that, but we were just slightly after. So Serial was October of 2014. You were already podcasting. You already knew it, but for some reason,
and you've been on my shows and stuff.
I had been on your shows. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, but that's always like it's interesting to know that. And then I think that moms in general have really started coming to podcasts in the last like 2 years. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I agree.
Like
we were like a little bit ahead of our people, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I agree. Okay. So for me, I was actually working less in March of 2015 than almost any other period since I've become a mom, except for one other where I was a fully stay-at-home mom, no side hustles or gigs, right after Reed was born for about 6 or 9 months. And then I started getting kind of into the editorial stuff and writing and blogging. But other than that, I think I just remember it was slower for you because, first of all, I had been working for you since 2013. And your work, like you said, was going more to these other contracts. And we were doing less and less at the Happiest Home. And lifestyle wise, that actually made a lot of sense for me. We did this big move to California.
You had a toddler.
I had a toddler. See, that's the thing. Like when I was working quite a bit for you, 10 hours a week, I was pregnant and had a little baby. And then I had like a little bit of kids in school, but I still had predictable naps and stuff. And then we got into this phase where I had a kid in elementary school, a kid in preschool, and a very busy toddler. And it was actually like harder to predict the work at that time than it had been when she was a baby. So it was actually, I remember kind of thinking it was perfect. And then the podcast almost was like, almost a just for fun thing. I mean, of course we wanted it to be good, but it was like, it definitely was not work for me.
And we didn't expect it to blow up quite the same way that it did. I think we were thinking, oh, you know, podcasting could lead us down some interesting paths, but I wasn't anticipating this particular show getting, you know, the response it did, which is great.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Okay. So next question, and we have kind of a lot to say here. This is kind of fun. So where and how did you record? Did we record? But obviously we're across the country from each other. So what did your recording situation look like in the very early days?
So in the very early days, my ex, John, had set up this whole situation for me at my desk with like a boom mic on an arm that was clamped onto the side of the desk. Actually, it was like clamped onto a piece of wood that I think was like nailed into the wall or something because the desk had too big of a, like didn't have enough lip for it to get under. And I was using this enormous Mac and we had this very complicated recording situation. So in that time I was the one doing the recording since like, I don't know, for 2 years or so, you've been the one doing the recording.
Yeah.
But at first it was me.
Meaning and like so, you were pushing buttons on your end. And I was
pushing
just
buttons on my end. Yep. And so I would sit down and every time it was like reinventing the computer, like, because it was like, we had Skype to record and then we had to get the files into GarageBand, but you couldn't directly do that at that time. You had to have some third party piece of software. I don't know if that's true anymore. We abandoned that a long time ago.
Right.
So you had to have something that would get it from Skype into GarageBand. At first we weren't even using, so our host now is Blueberry and we've had Blueberry for a long time, maybe 3 years. Mm-hmm. But at first we were like uploading everything to Amazon Web Services.
Oh, wow.
There was no way to track stats really. You could kind of get a rough idea by how much data was being used. I mean, it was like very rudimentary and it was guesswork. So every time I got on my computer, every time I shut the computer down, all of the settings would reset.
Oh my gosh.
So I'd have to go back in and go, okay, is my mic on? Yes. Is it being read by the computer? Yes. Is the thing that connects Skype to GarageBand working? Yes. Like it was like a checklist. And honestly, half the time I forgot something and something didn't sound right. Or, you know, we had some snafus for sure.
And I would just be there on the other, cause I didn't know what any of it looked like or any of it worked. I mean, I know so much more about the technical side than I did then. So I'd just be sitting there like, okay, I'm ready when you are.
And I would have John on call and then he would do all the editing in GarageBand, which, you know, he wasn't like a trained audio engineer. And it took him a long time. I think mostly because I think like he kind of nerded out on it, but at the same time, like it just, he didn't have any efficiencies in place for it. Cause he was using GarageBand is a very complicated program.
It is. It's
And the edits we needed, like there was always something that went wrong.
So there most of our edits, I think were related to like technical difficulties, like Skype dropping out. That's what I remembered. We never edited our like conversation or if we said something or messed up. We still don't. The only time we do is when we read our wonderful sponsor spots and those have to be delivered more precisely. Therefore, we screw up a bunch.
Yep.
But
if like a dog barks or
That's true. The doorbell rings.
But But for the most part, that the way we hand over the finished product is the same. It's just getting there. There were a lot more technical problems. And so I used to be really stressed out when I would sit down to record. It's kind of funny to think back now, like this is so, now that you kind of handle all the button pushing and also now, and we'll talk about our new system, now that it's so much better, I feel like this is actually a really relaxing time of the week, but like it used to be very stressful.
It did. And you know, as you're talking, I'm thinking about there was a different time period somewhere in the middle where it was also very stressful, but it was less to do with technology and more to do with our schedules. And we have the luxury of now all three of my kids are in school full time. Yours have been in school all full time for a while. But then right as mine started to have more school time, you took a full time 8 to 5, 9 to 5 job. Yeah. So we have over the years have had to record at crazy weird times. I was often kicking my husband and three little kids out of the house on a Saturday or getting up at a crazy time. Or
I'm just wondering like, when did we actually do it? I mean, I guess I came home on my lunch break and did it sometimes.
No, I think we did weekends. When you were working for the marketing agency, we did weekends.
Okay.
Because it was a big shift for me when I didn't have to record on weekends anymore.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Well, and I just remember if there was anything that like went wrong or had to be fixed like during the week, that was super stressful for me during that time. So
that
didn't last too long, thankfully, but we got a lot done during that time. It was just stressful.
We did. And the show had its own momentum and a pretty robust audience by then. So we didn't have the choice. If those circumstances had happened in the first 6 months, we just would have skipped weeks probably.
Yeah,
we would have been like, oh, but by the time that period went into place, we were like, well, we got to get it done. So I kind of got ahead of myself. I want to go back and talk a little bit about my recording setup in the early days, because this is so funny. I looked back at my Amazon orders because I wasn't sure, but I did not have a mic at all when we started. started, which means
that's so funny.
Not at all. And then I had this little one called the Blue Snowflake, which probably now if I tried to get it to work, it wasn't the mic's fault, but there was some compatibility issue. And we're still not clear if it ever worked or if it worked for a little while and then stopped working. But your ex, John, would listen to our audio. And this is maybe 3 or 4 or 5 months in. And I remember he'd always say, you know, let's set aside some time to get Sarah
to
set up.
Talk about this.
So she doesn't sound like garbage. And you and I were both like, oh, yeah, we should definitely do that. Yeah, it would be great to like take a look at that. And we never did. We just kept getting on. So I was recording first without a mic at all. Then with this little, it's a little dinky thing. It's like really small. It's not a real podcasting mic. And I'm not sure if it ever worked. And it definitely stopped working. So that was another like almost a year. So I ordered the mic that we have, which we love. It's the Audio Technica 2100. It's a favorite in this price range for podcasters. I did not order it till October of 2016, which is a full year and a half into doing this show. So blanket apologies for Sarah's sound quality in the first, I mean, that's like 70 episodes or something.
Yeah, it was a lot. Yeah. But I did go back and listen to our first episode and you didn't sound anywhere near as good as you do now. But I think for like a 2015 Homespun podcast, yeah, we sounded pretty good. Like yeah, I've definitely heard ones that sound much worse.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
don't feel too bad about it.
Okay. So do you want to talk about what your mic and your setup situation
sure
looks like now, or any phases in the middle that we skipped?
Yeah. Well, because there was like another phase where we discovered CleanFeed, which is yes, what we use now to record. And it's just better in every possible way. It kind of eliminated that need for all those different pieces yes of technology, and it made it very simple.
And CleanFeed is the piece that replaces basically Skype and GarageBand.
GarageBand.
It allows us to connect to each other from, you know, a million miles away, but then it also does the recording.
So, yeah, does the recording. It doesn't do the, like you can't edit in it,
right,
but we send that on to our,
yeah,
our engineers for that. So this is when I picked up the mic in my cleavage trick, which I've talked about before, because I'm on my bed. I've been on my bed now recording since CleanFeed early days, which would have been what, like two years ago?
I think probably a little longer.
Well, yeah, like 2.5 years ago. It was like, it was fall of 2016.
When you started working at the radio.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Because we got that tip from my co-host.
Yeah. So
Johnny,
2.5.
He told us about it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when I'm recording on my bed and I didn't have the boom anymore, and I did that for several reasons. One of them being the sound is just better. There's more soft things around yeah and it absorbs sound. I'm more comfortable. I didn't have to be on my computer that was the big beast anymore
right
because I wasn't doing the recording on this end. But then I was like, what am I going to do with my mic? I would try to hold it. That didn't work. And finally, I realized if I just stuff it in my bra, it stays in place. And my mouth is close to it. I'm kind of talking down into my cleavage right now. But that's where I picked up that trick.
I love it.
And that's how I still do it. Even in a different house, I still now have my mic stuffed in my bra.
Did you get a new mic at some point? I feel like you did. You had the old...
I used to have a Rode podcaster, which is a really nice mic. But it was a little much for my needs. I don't remember why I switched to the Audio Technica. I think because Johnny recommended it. And
yeah,
like, it was really well... it came with great reviews and it's smaller. It's much easier.
You can travel
to
with it.
You can
it
travel
it's
with
great.
It.
Now we own, I think we both own two. Yeah. It's our go-to.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, we switched to CleanFeed, which switched me to being usually the one to capture the recording. CleanFeed also does not come without some technical difficulties. Sometimes we've had many, right, but now we're in a good phase. So if you're listening to this CleanFeed, keep it up, keep up the good work.
Keep it up.
But I moved from not caring at all about my acoustics to then starting to understand how to get a little bit better sound, got the mic. I moved up to Reed's room and I would record sitting on the floor facing into the bunk bed so that I was talking into kind of a blanket fort. The sound was fantastic. I remember feeling really proud of like, oh, this really does. I could start to hear the difference. No echo and all of that.
Yeah.
And I did that for, I don't know, over 2 years. And right around the end of 2018, just this last year, and like looking into the new year, and we recorded so much content, like in December, you know, we always put out a ton of holiday content. And I was like, I'm done. I don't want to sit on the floor anymore in a dirty 8-year-old's room with Legos on the floor.
Yeah.
And my body hurts. And we would do these double header sessions where we'd record two episodes back to back and the sound was great. All of that was great. But I was just like, I want to sit in a chair at a real table.
Yep.
So we worked to get me a little set up now, and I have a proper mic stand. It stands on the floor so I could move it around. It's like the kind of musician would use on stage or whatever. And then there's a window behind me, and there's like it's a like an industrial moving blanket, the type of thing you'd wrap your dresser in if you were going to put it in a moving truck. And hanging that behind me just dampens a little bit of the room echo. And then I'm also set up to speak really, really closely into the mic. Because with these types of mics, if you can get right up on the mic, you already eliminate a lot of the kind of bounce and echo around. So all of that, the mic placement and the blanket behind me, I am now happily sitting back in my kitchen where I started, only knowing so much more about how to get decent sound.
Well, and I want to say, I don't think it's ever that we didn't care about sound. It's more that we just kind of knew our limits. I think it was more, I can't care, to borrow your phrase. Yes. Like, I can't care about that. Like, we're getting a show out every week. What more do you expect from us? And then eventually when we got good at like our process of getting the outline done and staying organized and being consistent and all those things, then we're like, okay, now we're ready to make the next step.
And we also did get some emails and some iTunes reviews in the very early days with people's, most of them actually even really nice, but like, hey, one of you's yelling in my ear and I can barely hear the other one. And that's it. For those of you who are curious, that's a pretty common, if you are doing an independent podcast and starting it from your home, sound and sound quality is a big hurdle. And now listeners' ears are so much better trained for good podcasts, are so much more popular. We got away with stuff that would be hard to get away with today and be taken seriously.
Remember when we had that thing where it sounded like one of us was jangling bracelets or something, and it was a cord problem.
It was a cord problem. It wasn't even the cord jangling; like nothing was moving, but it was a faulty connection. It ends up sounding like a scritch scratch or bracelets jangling. And we've learned so. We also learned a lot about that when we started coaching other podcasters, because we'd be like, "Holy moly! Now we've got to make sure other people have good sound quality."
And we actually had our own vocabulary around it. Like we called that scritchy scratch.
Yeah,
and we called when like the Wi-Fi connection is bad and it gets like someone's like slows down and someone speeds up or whatever, we call that roboting.
Yeah.
It actually on one end sounds like a robot.
Yeah. You sound like electronically mastered.
Yes.
Anyway. Yeah. Oh, if you guys have a little moment where you thank all of the independent podcasters you listen to, because I guarantee they all have wanted to bang their head against the wall over Skype or any number of these. It's just, it's a piece of the puzzle.
Yeah. You haven't had a lot of time when you've been recording with kids in the house. I mean, I know you have had to before, but it hasn't really been.
Yeah. I usually just kick them out because mine are younger. It's just really, it's really hard. But you have, so talk about that.
Yeah, I have. Well, and it's not a big thing anymore. Now they're with their dad half the week. And if I do have to record, like right now, we're recording this on a school day. It's almost 2 o'clock. My kids will be coming home from school starting in an hour. They know if my door is shut not to come in. In my old house, and when they were younger, where I recorded was like this office room right off of my bedroom, and it had a glass door between that and the area where the kids came in. So it was like anything that happened in the house, like if the dog barked, if someone slammed the door, it was like very close.
Yeah.
And kids would press their faces up against the door. I did eventually put a sign up on the door that said, I think it said, "Mom's recording, quiet please." And then I think what it said is, "Don't read the sign out loud."
Oh, yes.
Because the kids would come up and read the sign out loud. And I'm like, okay, so that doesn't work either, because you're right there on the other side of the store. So now that doesn't happen. I do occasionally have cat problems. Like she likes to hang out with me in my room and I don't mind, but you know how cats do that thing where they rub their faces on the corners of things?
Yes.
She'll decide she wants to do that on my computer, which does not work when I'm trying to keep it in my lap. And you've had dog interruptions.
Oh yeah, dog interruptions. And with my old dog too, because both dogs will bark if they hear or see something.
But Xander wants to like get your attention.
Yes. And there was a whole phase when he was a puppy where he could not even be in the room. He wanted to be near me, but I couldn't have him in there. He was too wild and too unpredictable. So I would put him in a crate, but he would bark in the crate if he knew I was in the house. He likes his crate. If he knows we're gone, he's totally fine in his crate. But because he knew I was there, he would bark. So I had to move the crate into this, it sounds terrible, but it wasn't, into our closet, which is a big closet.
It's not like a room.
And the light was on and it was just like a room, but it had the most doors I could close, because I could close that door, then the bathroom door, then the outside bedroom door, and then the bedroom door I was in. And so finally figured that out. So puppy drama.
And then you'd come back and you'd be all out of breath and you'd have to have like 5 minutes to like,
oh my gosh. Yeah.
Recenter puppy. Yourself.
So now
he's sweaty.
He's right next to me and he is mostly good. But that brings me to the final funny thing, unless we think of anything else, about interruptions and, you know, having background noise, which is, you guys are not going to believe this. We didn't really figure out that there was a mute button we could use to mute either of us. Like if you're on a conference call, right, and you don't want to cough into the speaker or whatever, you can mute yourself and everyone else keeps talking. Well, CleanFeed has that functionality. It has existed in the 2.5 years we've been using it. And for some reason, it never occurred to either of us to use that for this type of thing. Like, oh, I can tell Xander's going to bark because he's getting up here. I'm going to mute myself and let you keep talking, which should be, I don't know. It's so simple. And the way it came up is I had a cold a few weeks ago, like in January. And I was getting over it, but I had just that lingering where I felt like I needed to clear my throat almost all the time because I was getting over. And I told Brian, I was like, I had to suppress holding my husband, Brian, by the way, one of our engineers is also named Brian. And I said, I had to suppress my clearing my throat for like 2 hours recording today. And he's like, do you guys have a mute button? And I was like,
you're like,
turns out.
And the funny thing is like from radio, I should have, there's such a thing as a cough button. That's what it's called.
Oh my gosh, how funny.
And I just didn't think about it. Like I never, there's a lot of things that are probably similar between radio and podcasting that I never put the two together.
Yeah.
So
I use it.
Oh my gosh.
I use it with abandon now, like clear my throat, stiff my nose. You can open a LaCroix can in the middle of recording.
Well,
now.
And I got in trouble for that one time. We got a note from our sound engineer who very sweetly said, at, you know, X time stamp, I had to remove the sound of Megan opening her LaCroix can. And the funny thing was I must've gotten into some kind of out of body experience. Because I had no memory of having opened it during recording. I was like, I would never do that. What a amateur hour thing to do. But I totally did.
Yeah. Well, now, thanks.
But now I can open multiple LaCroix cans.
Thanks to this newfangled thing called a mute button.
Yep. That's been there the whole time.
It's been there the whole time. Okay. This is fun. We're going to take a quick break and then talk more about all that has changed in the last 4 years. So first, Megan, we're going to talk about our sponsor, FabFitFun, but you are too far away to smell me right now. But
is that good?
It is. No, it's a sad thing for you because I smell really good. Basically, my entire springy freshness is brought to you by our sponsor, FabFitFun. Not exaggerating, because I took my shower this morning. I used the champagne charcoal scrub in the shower. And then I use the leave-in conditioner they sent with the spring box after, and this aromatic body lotion. And I basically smell like spring. And it's
okay. I'm obsessed with that lotion. Unfortunately, I used mine all up already.
Oh my gosh, it's only been like a month. You really were.
I used it like twice a day.
So just as a reminder, FabFitFun is a seasonal subscription box. That means that 4 times a year, you get a box filled with full-size beauty, fitness, fashion, and lifestyle products. There's always at least $200 worth of product in the box, but it retails for under $50, and we're going to save you $10 on your first box. This spring, there's a couple of things that by themselves retail for $40 or $50, and that's just one of several things you'll get in the box. So it's, I got a brand new pair of sunglasses this time.
It's like very high value.
Yeah. So when you're a subscriber, you can choose between several options to kind of customize what comes in it. And one of my favorite things is actually that magazine that comes with it, because I love reading a little bit more about the products and brands, especially if it's something that my very rudimentary skincare routine, I'm like, oh, what is a toner?
Yes.
Oh, I can learn how to use it. and they also have a social good tie-in with each season, which is really cool. So a portion of the proceeds go to a great cause. It's often one that supports women and girls, and we love that. So there's just so much to love. So we are going to save you guys $10 off that first box. You're going to go to fabfitfun.com and use the coupon code TheMomHour when you check out. Again, it's fabfitfun.com and the coupon code is TheMomHour for $10 off.
Love it. Well, we're also excited to welcome back ModCloth as a sponsor today. I'm especially excited because it is finally officially spring, which always makes me want to update my wardrobe. And we also have some conferences coming up like soon.
Yeah.
And they are the kind populated by like stylish blogger type people. So I always feel like I need to up my style game this time of year. And I love ModCloth for this kind of shopping because their clothes are really fun and now, but there's definitely something for a wide range of ages. Their clothes are also really body positive. And there's just like something for everyone. I also love that their models look like real women who are just kind of like going about their business, not some supermodel airbrush within an inch of her life, like posing on the beach. It's really real.
Yeah.
And I like knowing like what the clothes might look like on me rather than what they might look like on someone who doesn't have my body type. I've actually got my eye on the Unbridled Enthusiasm wide leg jumpsuit. So I've really been wanting to get a cropped jumpsuit, but a lot of the ones that have the skinny leg are just a little snug and they scare me a little bit.
Oh, this is so cute. I looked at this too. It's so cute.
I think the wide leg is just going to make it work.
And
me,
you have you have those nice long legs. That's going to be super cute. You do.
I think it's going to be good. ModCloth carries a wide variety of sizes from 00 to 28. And they have a team of stylists on hand who can help you with fit questions, which is helpful, you know, when you're shopping online. So we're going to save you 15% on your order of $100 or more when you use the code THEMOMHOUR at checkout. You can just use this one time only, and it expires on June 9th, 2019, so make sure you hurry up and use that. Again, it's modcloth.com. Use the code THEMOMHOUR, and you'll save $15 on your order of $100 or more.
Okay, so moving on, I thought we could talk about the actual content of the show. We just talked a bunch about recording technically, but there's several things that have changed, and we are going to play you guys a couple of examples of the older intro. We mentioned that, but let's talk about like the way we structured the show, because now it feels like pretty routine. We've kind of got our rhythm down, but there's some things that we did very differently in the beginning.
Yeah. Okay. So this is something I think is funny. Remember how we thought it would be fun to add in like a kind of like, what are we up to segment at the beginning?
Yes.
And we ended up talking about the weather like a whole bunch.
Yes.
Well, and then people were like, don't do that anymore.
Yes. Yeah, so it's really funny. We did. I was really big into this idea of recurring segments, and the few podcasts I had listened to at that time had something like, let's talk about our tip of the week or our favorite product of the week. By the way, I still think this is a great idea. It just wasn't us. We had trouble executing. Our kids were in very different life stages from each other. You don't like to think of products on the spot, and I don't blame you. I have a hard time with it too. So it was like this idea I really wanted to force us into. And we tried it with both a product segment and then also with like, let's talk about what's going on in our homes this week.
I completely forgot about the product segment.
Yeah,
that's
it didn't last very long to me. It didn't last very long. And then we tried this, like, let's talk about what's happening in our, like in our four walls this week, which is, again, was a great idea. But we got feedback, and I think the feedback was really, it was right. It was right on. Yeah. It was in our first listener survey, and listeners just said, we wish you'd get to the topic faster. And the thing is, what I realize now over 4 years is people are getting to know, it's natural for us to talk about what's going on this week in our home. And like, it just kind of weaves its way in.
It just happens. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that there's no, it's not like we don't socialize at all. There's zero banter at the beginning. We still say hi to each other. Yeah. And sometimes we make a funny comment about what's going on or whatever, but it's not, it was forced. That was the problem.
And
we were trying to make it like a thing, and it went on too long.
And it went on 10 or 15 minutes, and people were like, but you said this episode was about lunch packing and you're still talking about the weather. And then the weather is kind of, that's like a running joke because we kind of do like to talk about the weather, and we have such different weather. So you guys will just have to give us a pass on that one. We try not to do it at the top of the show for 10 minutes every episode like we maybe did in the beginning.
Well, and a big reason that we had to kind of streamline the way we did things as well was because we did start doing advertisers more regularly. Our very first show had an advertiser, but we were never consistent. We weren't consistent for like 2 years.
So I would love to ask you this. I'm putting you on the spot. What all did you know about podcast advertising or the way that you wanted to work with sponsors? Because it really was your vision in the beginning, and I was the co-host for a while.
I knew nothing because the podcasts I listened to were either ripped from the radio, which meant they were usually just like an underwriter. They were, a lot of them were public radio, so they were like an underwriter at the beginning, but they didn't typically in those days have a lot of ad breaks, at least the ones I was listening to, or they were all over the place. Most podcasts, like, I feel like the whole idea of a podcast, like an indie podcast being regularly sponsored at that point was unusual. You would hear kind of those canned ads for like Casper mattresses and FreshBooks and stuff. And, what's the other one? Squarespace, you know, at the beginning maybe, but like everybody was all over the place. So I knew nothing. I do remember having the foresight way back in the day when I first started doing The Kitchen Hour, which was my first podcast, to like create a break. And I don't remember what I put in that spot at the beginning. I remember thinking, you know, around the 15 minute or 20 minute mark, I need to have some kind of break. So if I ever get ads, I can go back and put them in. And I think I just talked about like what I had going on the blog, or like if I had a, you know, a sponsor I was working with, I think I just inserted that there, but I didn't know what I was doing.
But whatsoever. You already, just the way you described it, I think you kind of knew, you had smart instincts. I know you were listening to like Pat Flynn and some of the people who have their own stuff that they're selling, which is another, when we coach podcasters, like that's another thing that works really well. If you are an author or you have eBooks or you have a course or something, that's not our business model, but I think you probably had really good instincts. I obviously knew nothing about it. And so the sponsors we had in the early days were mostly brought over from your work on The Happiest Home. And you, you know, were able to kind of tell them how being involved on the podcast was like another branch of working with you, but we wouldn't have had brands beating down our door from day one.
Well, and Right. And I think that what was different was that we hadn't yet figured out what we were offering them. So like every time we'd had a possibility to include a sponsor, we were like reinventing the wheel. Yeah. Like we had to go, where are we going to put them?
Yeah.
So at the time when we first started, there was a lot of kind of conflicting advice out there about how to monetize and when to do it. And I remember reading an article by a guy who was saying, you should never put an ad on your show till it's worth it to you financially. And like, you have to have X number of downloads to make Y number of dollars. And if you don't get to that point, don't waste your time and your listeners' time doing it. And I kind of took that to heart. And now I would do it completely differently. And we always advise people who are starting a podcast to leave room for sponsors, mostly because you get yourself in the habit so that you don't get yourself in another habit where you just get on and talk about whatever and then you never break. Like, that's hard to break that habit.
And your listeners come to expect it too.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think that's something that happened gradually. I think that's another area where we get feedback from you guys and have, you know, made an effort to make our ads fun to listen to, but also shorter and not drag on too long. And the industry, the space has changed so much.
Oh my gosh. So like, even in the last year, it's changed a lot. So,
I will say from an actual content delivery perspective, like when we plan what we're going to talk about, I think having regular sponsors and partnerships actually helps us. I think it keeps us really disciplined about, okay, we're going to talk about this and we're going to deliver it in, you know, a 20 minute segment here. And I feel so much more organized, I guess is the right word, about the way we plan our conversations. And part of that is because of the integration of ads. It's a staple of the structure of our show. I'm using hand motions right now that you can't see, but.
Well, I would also say that for me, when we were talking about how we first did the show, I don't remember really following along with the outline very much when we first started.
So we have a shared Google Doc. I don't think we used it. I think we maybe emailed something back and forth to each other for a while. And then for a long time, you didn't know where the outline was. I'd always say, oh, I put a few notes in the outline doc.
You send me the link every time.
For a long time.
And it really wasn't until we started having to make sure like we knew what we were talking about for ads that I started getting in the outline and really paying close attention to it. And I think it's made the show better because now I know what you're going to say, kind of. Like we still are off the cuff for a lot of it, but at least we know where we're going. It's like Sarah's driving the bus, but at least I know like what exit we're getting off.
Yeah, it's like what the map, like what state you're in. Right. What country you're in. Yeah, it's funny. That's one of those things you might think we would have gotten less or more relaxed about, but I think our outlines and our structure is actually more over the 4 years than it was in the beginning. So we have to play our old intros. I'm just going to have our sound engineer insert them. And if I can dig up a couple bloopers, I'm going to do those too. We'll play those at the very end, hopefully. But let's just listen to our very first intro and then our second intro. And you guys already know what the third one sounds like. So we'll do that now.
Hi, I'm Sarah. I'm a mom of 3 kids, ages 2, 5, and 7, and I live in Southern California.
And I'm Megan. I am the mom of 5 kids, ages 6 through 17, and I live in Michigan. This is the Mom Hour, part of the Life Listened Network. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the very first episode of the Mom Hour with myself, Megan Francis, and my good friend, Sarah Powers.
Hi, I'm Megan.
And I'm Sarah.
We're 2 moms with 8 kids between us, from preschool to teen.
This is the show where we help you feel better about the mom you are and share our own parenting tips and personal stories.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 101 of the Mom Hour. I am Megan Francis, here as always.
Okay, so we've already talked a little bit about this, but the first one, obviously, I penned all of my children into a specific age that turns out they didn't stay those numbers.
We weren't good at re-recording intros at that point.
No, so I don't know if you remember, but we recorded the second one in a hotel room in Denver. And we were huddled around one mic, but we at least had a good mic and we were in person. And I just remember a ton of outtakes. That's what I'm hoping to play a few at the very end. So listen,
it's really hard to do something like that when you're in the same room. Like I felt like we were laughing a lot.
We laughed so much. And just like if you're a copywriter, it's really hard to write really short copy. It's hard to say what you want to say in a short amount of time. So I remember that being a challenge. And then when we recorded the current iteration, you were out in Santa Barbara visiting me at my parents' house, and it was basically the biggest heat wave I've ever experienced in growing
up.
It
felt like having a hairdryer blasted all over your body.
And Santa Barbara is a cool beach town, so people don't have air conditioning. It never gets above like 80 degrees. And if it does, it's for like a week. And this was like, it was like in the high 90s. And we had to have the curtains closed and the windows closed because we were recording. So I just remember sitting in a hot, sweaty bed, basically trying to get this one done.
Why did we always want to do this when we were together? That doesn't make any sense now that I think about it. We would have been much better off just doing them the way we do everything else.
I think now, but I think back in the day, some of the like connection issues were, they were so unpredictable. It's like we didn't want to record a canned intro that might have some technical stuff.
And there are things we drag our feet on that we don't do until we're together in person. Like there are definitely things that we like, we put off, we procrastinate because we don't, for whatever reason, they feel like a big deal.
Yeah.
And so those things tend to happen when we're in the same place.
It's true. Although I've kind of changed my tune about recording episodes. We used to always say, oh, we're going to be together. Let's record an episode. It's not fun. It's hard. We want to hang out. So it's fun to record little stuff, like do a Facebook Live for our Patreons or something like that. But it's hard to record a real episode when we're together.
Yeah, it is.
We don't do it anymore.
Nope. Which means we usually double up the week before and sometimes when we get back as well.
Yeah. So another thing that's changed about the actual content is adding other people to this show and adding other types of shows. So I just went back because I wanted to have the dates in front of me. So we started doing interviews just over a year after. So in May of 2016 was our very first Voices episode, and we didn't call it the Mom Hour Voices at that time.
What did we call it?
We called them bonus interviews.
Bonus interviews.
It was your idea. You're like, this isn't bonus content. This is like regular content. It just needs its own name. I remember that was you. So that was your idea to call them Voices interviews, which I love. And we haven't missed a month, I don't think. So we do those monthly. And then the More Than Mom was a pretty big add-on because we were already stretched thin in terms of the amount of episodes we were putting out. But it was a great idea. And I think a lot of people really love them. And we did hear from people like, I really like the parenting stuff more. And then we hear from other people who are like, I love the not just mom stuff, the More Than Mom. So we started those in February of 2018. So a little over a year ago.
And we have to remind ourselves sometimes that not everyone has to like everything we do. I know that sounds like really obvious, but like, I know. It's okay if we put out stuff that you guys don't like. We've had people email us before and like kind of almost ask permission to not listen to certain things. I'm like, we have no idea who's listening to what. No. So you can do whatever you like, whatever works for you.
Skip our ads and skip our whatever else. And no, that's a really good point. We also brought Katie on the show monthly-ish starting in early 2017. And then it's funny because Katie is our resident new mom. Katie's still on the show. She's our books contributor now. But just like my kids not staying 2, 5, and 7, Katie didn't really stay a resident, truly new mom. She had just had baby number 2 kids under 2 when I met her. So she had an infant. And now, of course, those kids are like 2 and 4.
See, when we hired her, I thought I made it clear her kids were not allowed to get older.
Yeah, you have to have babies. You're a resident baby mom.
I was
mom.
Like, I'm sorry. You're here forever now. You don't get to go anyway. Oh, what? They're getting older.
Oh, I know. Yeah. But actually, we've had great feedback about Katie as a books contributor this year. So she still comes on the show. And then Allison Thompson, who's a co-host over at Crunchy Cocktail Hour, started coming on with me every few weeks when she was pregnant with her second. So again, we've had a kind of a resident new mom talking about going through the transition from one baby to 2. And that is, I think it's so much fun. And it just, you and I are not in that stage anymore. So as much as we like to wax nostalgic, we're not in the nitty gritty. So I have a lot of fun with those. All of that, none of that happened for a year or two into the show. In the beginning, it was just us, just the regular thing.
So. Man, we've done a lot of stuff in 4 years. I mean, I know 4 years seems like a long time, but now just seeing all these changes and things detailed out, there's a lot. We've really done a lot.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And then another kind of bonus content we haven't talked about is for Patreon. So, and this is much more recent. So starting just in December, we started doing 2 bonus episodes per quarter. So we've done 4 episodes total, 1 on discipline, 1 on home decor, 1 on chores and delegating, and 1 with our favorite recipes. And they come with like printable resources and fun stuff. Like there's a Pinterest board for one and a playlist for one. So we try
and there's no ads. It's not really just like a bonus episode. It's a little more than that. We call them audio classes.
Yeah, they're audio classes. So those have been another really fun outlet for content. And those are for our editor level patrons. If you guys are curious, we'll link up in the show notes. And once you do join that Patreon level, you get access to all the old ones too, which is kind of cool because now there's a few. Oh, all right. So we've talked about most of it.
Yeah. So what's interesting is like we've had now several different editors and you actually can do some editing. So it started off with my now ex-husband, John, was doing all of our edits. And then for a long time, my co-host at the radio station, Johnny, was doing all of our edits. And then he got a new job at the radio station. And so then we kind of played around with different options. And now we're working with a new sound engineer and the company is making it so that we can do kind of cool stuff that we couldn't really easily do before, like our 200th episode.
Yeah,
we had like all that fun. We had all that fun, like kind of overlapping sound. Yeah. And stuff like that.
A little produced package, which is it's so fun. And yeah, I actually have enjoyed learning just the basics. It's funny. It's like the reverse journey because a lot of podcasters start out doing their own editing because it's free and that's what you got to do. And then as they grow, they hire it out. I actually do more of our own editing now than I would have when I started because I didn't know anything. And I do like the little mess ups, the little, you know, we said the wrong thing or a dog barked. I do those, but I do nothing with regard to kind of the final mastering, the sound quality and putting the music and the intro. I don't do anything like that. I just fix our boo-boos, basically patch us up and send it off. So
what we talked a lot about what's changed, what hasn't changed. What do you think? Like I was thinking, you know, our conversation, I think I was actually surprised because you listened to the first episode and you told me it was kind of cringy.
Yeah.
And I went and listened to it and the first 5 minutes, I mean, it was our very first episode.
Yeah.
So that sounded very different than now. We obviously did not know how to get into the episode yet. Like we had a sponsor, we really didn't know how to do it. Like it was like, we didn't know how to get into the show. But once we kind of hit our stride around like the 7 minute mark, I think we sounded just like we do now. Like I felt like our conversation was very similar.
I agree. Yeah. And it was.
Your mic wasn't on or you didn't have one, but you know. That's something different.
Yeah, I think that has not changed. I think the way we come up with ideas for what to talk about has gone through ebbs and flows, but it really hasn't changed. Like sometimes we got a whole bunch of ideas and sometimes it's like the morning of recording and we're like, what are we going to talk about? Like, how do we put this together? That hasn't really changed. Once we started having a Google Doc as an outline, that it looks very similar to probably not the first 6 months or a year, but the last 3 years, it hasn't changed. Yep. The way the show notes are structured hasn't changed.
Same.
Yeah. Yep. So and that makes it easier, right? It's like you show up and you do the thing that you know works. And I think that's been nice. It's allowed us to play around with adding and changing stuff, but there's a lot that doesn't change. We know how to do it. We have the same hosting provider, Blueberry, that we've had since the beginning. So we
kind of chasing shiny new things. Like we've been approached by lots of other hosting providers with offers to move. And we're just like, why would we do that to ourselves? We're really happy with Blueberry. And like, I feel like sometimes you can get really distracted by this or that, you know, app or whatever.
Yeah.
Like solving a problem you don't have.
Yes.
And so we've been able to make it work with what we have and we're really happy with Blueberry. So we're like, oh, let's just stay. They have great customer service. And I was going to say one thing that really has, I think, revolutionized the way we do our organizing and our prep is Voxer.
Yeah, that's true.
We didn't used to use Voxer. Like what? It's like been 2 years.
If that, maybe a year and a half. That. I feel like it was summertime.
So before that, all these conversations would have happened on Hangouts.
Or email. Yeah.
Or email. We didn't even talk on the phone like ever.
Ever. Never.
I remember answering a call from you once because I just happened to be like driving on the highway and you were like, what?
I know.
Why are you answering my phone call?
We probably had like 3 phone calls in 3 years.
Yeah, that's crazy. Boxer.
Yeah, that's funny. One thing that is new is we have a new website as of this week. It's still themomhour.com. We're not going to change that for you guys, but it has a new home. It'll continue to grow and we have blog content on there and ideas for how to continue to grow that. So that's kind of, that's kind of fun. So
I'm really excited about going back to our blogging roots a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I loved blogging for so long. I kind of burned out on it, but now I feel like my kids are older. I have new things to say and new ways to say it. And we have a whole new audience, which makes it feel good too. Like I like the idea of reaching new people.
Agreed.
With written content.
Agreed. So. All right. Well, do you have any predictions on where we'll be 4 years from now? It feels like a long time.
Geez, my youngest will be 14. I will only have two kids left at home at that point, I'm assuming.
Wow. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I feel like even though 4 years, there's been so much that's happened in my life in the last 4 years, it has gone by really fast.
Yeah.
So I feel like the next four is going to go by really fast too. I think we'll continue to grow our network and produce new stuff.
Yeah.
And I think I would love at some point for the Mom Hour to kind of be just a place for moms to come. And even if it's not always you and me doing the content, all the content all the time, like mm-hmm. just to have a home, like yeah. like a happy, encouraging, supportive home. And I don't know how we'll make that happen.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll have lots of crazy ideas.
I know. Yeah.
What about you? Any predictions?
No, I think I could see more live events or more getting yeah. out and like making the community, giving more ways for the community to be with us and us to be with the community and the community connect with each other. But yeah, I don't know what that looks like. And yeah, in 4 years, my kids will be 10, almost 13 and almost 15. Crazy. Mm. So you're wow. like how your youngest three are now.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Why does that happen? How does that even
they just
happen?
Keep getting older. What? I don't know.
Okay. Well, before we wrap, I wanted to ask a favor. We haven't asked this in a long time, but just letting you know that your reviews in Apple Podcasts, which used to be called iTunes, that's another thing that's changed since we started this show. Those reviews are still hugely helpful to us, as helpful as they were in the very early days. A lot of moms discover shows. A lot of moms are brand new to listening to podcasts. They don't even yeah. know which ones to listen to. And we would love for them to discover our show because they type in the word mom or a review catches their eye. So if you've not done that, we would love if you would leave us a review. And if you listen somewhere else and it has a way to leave us a rating or review, we appreciate that as well.
Yeah. And in fact, those other places, often we don't have as many because not as many people leave them. So,
and I don't know how to do place. Them. So I don't
yeah,
know.
So we
how
can't
to tell
you how to do it, but you could probably figure it out. Or just, you know, get, I think actually, Apple Podcasts has the most difficult review system.
Yeah.
Like I had a really hard time leaving yeah. reviews on it. So
we do have a little tutorial on our site. I'll link it up yeah. in the show notes, but we appreciate yeah. that.
And you guys should check back on Tuesday because we will be doing an episode about summer planning. It's hard to believe that's right around the corner, but it is. And we're going to talk about kind of all the logistics and the practical stuff. And I'm going to talk a little bit about kind of what that looks like when you are a divorced or separated family. And so we have a lot. This is going to be a jam-packed one.
Yeah, it'll be a good one. So we will talk to you guys on Tuesday. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Megan.
And I'm Sarah.
We're two moms with eight kids between us, from preschool to teen.
This is the show where we help you feel better about the mom you are and share our own tips and personal... Okay, just start over.
Hi, I'm Megan.
And I'm...
No. Hi, I'm Megan.
No.
Hi, I'm Megan. Hi, I'm Megan.
And I'm Sarah.
We're two moms with eight kids between us, from preschool to teen.
This is the show where we help you feel better about the mom you are and share our own parenting tips and personal stories.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour. Still bad on the last one.
Do you want to just try that line again?
Yeah.
You can misplace it.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
That was better.
That was better.
Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Megan.
We're two moms with eight kids between us, from little to grown.
We're in different areas of the country. Let's start that again. We're in different areas of the country and in different stages of life.
But we both know that motherhood is a lot easier when real moms share tips and encouragement.
And remind you that it's really all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
I think that you should say motherhood's a lot easier.
Okay.
It's coming off a little... A little stilted.
Okay.
Okay. Let's try it one more time.
Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Megan.
We're two moms with eight kids between us, from little to grown.
We're in different areas of the country and in different stages of life.
But we both know that motherhood's a lot easier when real moms share. Sorry, I'm going to do that one again. Mm-hmm. But we both know that motherhood's a lot easier when real moms share tips and encouragement.
And remind you that it's really all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour. Let me just try one more shot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Megan.
We're two moms with eight kids between us, from little to grown.
We're in different areas of the country and in different stages of life.
But we both know that motherhood's a lot easier when real moms share tips and encouragement.
And remind you that it's really all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
I like that one.
Me too. I feel good about that.